Listen to what your body is telling you.
When you're driving a manual car, you have to be really aware of what you're doing and when you're doing it and why you're doing it.
Listening is the biggest thing. Isn't that what we all want, is someone to listen to us, for crying out loud?
What?
Huh? Thou shall not eat sugar.
And recognize that it's not like something's wrong. It's just, hey, there's an opportunity for something that's better.
And what foods give you energy and make you feel really good, and what foods start to make you feel really bad and steal your energy.
I'm still finding balance.
You know, sometimes we just want quick wins to know that we're making progress along the way. And so one of the things that I often do when people are desiring to make progress to unlocking their spiritual potential is to give them these little toolkits so they can actually track that progress and know when they're at least unlocking that potential, right? Because this isn't just an instant, bam, I am such a spiritual being. You are a spiritual being. You're unlocking different levels of that potential. So what we want to do is give you tools so that you can understand the different levels of that potential. So I thought today maybe what we could do is give 5 tools that you could utilize for those quick wins, those quick awarenesses to unlocking that spiritual potential.
Right. With the intention that, as you just said, that this is already within us. And so these words like unlocking and potential already represent that the spirituality is already within us. And so it's not something we have to attain or gain or reach to. It's like, it's just a, and that's what kind of, I feel like gets convoluted in thoughts and in different understandings of spirituality, that we have to reach this level of enlightenment and we have to do all these steps to get there. And like the reality is we already have everything within us. And so that's why I love these terms like unlock and potential, because again, that reminds us that it's already within us. And so these are just quick steps to start that process so that we can remember what is already within us.
Yes. And I'll be honest, nothing, like I don't get upset often. Mm-hmm. No, it's just not part of my nature. But one thing that really upsets me is when I come across individuals who like, oh, I will give you this energy that will make you the spiritual being, because I'm not giving you anything. Mm-mm. You already hold all of the potential of the universe. There's nothing I can give you other than the tools that I've acquired that have helped me, that may then help you unlock the same awareness that you already hold. It's already in you. It is just, there are all these different paths to understanding how you remember and reach that within yourself. So I'm not here to give you anything. I'm here to show you tools and techniques that have helped me remember and reignite it within myself. And maybe it will spark something within you. But I'm not somehow able to give you something you don't already hold. That's not one of the 5 tools, but that's just something I wanted to share. So one of the tools that I know you and I, we talk about this all the time, because when you first met me and you got so frustrated with me to the point where I wasn't sure if you'd keep coming back to talk to me,
yeah,
was breath. That's one of the first tools to really get into there and ignite something. Because, you know, if you look at a bellow with a fire, right, you're just like fueling that fire with air. It's like breath. It's like, ooh, all this oxygen. It's the same thing we do to ourselves when we really focus on our breath. Our spirit is fueled by the fire of our breath and the oxygen that we're bringing in. It feeds our muscles. It feeds our spirit. It clears our mind. And so one of the first things, if you can bring yourself to doing breath work as a way to track your progress and reignite that spirit, it's one of the best things you can do.
Yeah, it's no wonder that the very thing that provides us life force energy is far more important than we can give it credit. We think, oh, we take it for granted because we just do it and it's automatic. But when we have, just like anything, like just with these five steps here for inner growth, we're talking about intention behind them. Because anyone can create a list of five steps, but it's what is the intention behind them and why? And that's why it's important. I mean, breath is so important. But when we go through these five, there's not like a level of importance in each one. Needs to be one before the other. But I think there is a reason why you shared this one with me first. And I'm really glad you did, because breath is that first key into the present moment. When we take that breath and we bring our awareness to something that is automatic and we focus almost like a manual, right? You think about like driving. Right. When your car is just shifting gears automatically, you know, you kind of start to think about other things. Right. But when you're driving a manual car, you have to be really aware of what you're doing and when you're doing it and why you're doing it in order for the car to work correctly. And so that's very much like with our breath. When we bring shift from the automatic into that manual focus, it's like all the rest of the things in life kind of disappear and we pull inwards, and it's just we can breathe in and breathe out, and it's just like everything starts to kind of fall away. And that's so powerful. So imagine if we bring intention and purpose into that, and to when we use it, why we use it. And that's what I think we can kind of really dive into in this moment.
Yes, because if you are someone who has looked into breath work, then you may already know this, but if this is the first time that you've heard about it, the really cool thing with breath work is you can target it to what you need to do throughout your day. Like if you're really agitated and you need to calm down, there are ways to calm your heart rate. And it could be as simple as taking 2 minutes to do a longer exhale than you did an inhale, and then pause in between that breath. So that longer exhale starts to slow the heart rhythm, and suddenly you're not as anxious. Your whole body structure begins to change. However, if what you really need to do is get amped up, there's a way to do quick, rapid breaths into your lower abdomen to actually increase that and release adrenaline. And so suddenly, without having to drink a monster drink, or one of those caffeinated drinks, you actually have the adrenaline you need to go and do what you needed to do. So as you said, intentionally, you have an opportunity to understand what you are targeting to do. And when you look at it from a spiritual aspect, if you are looking to get in tune with that spiritual part of you, go into a deep meditation. When I studied yoga and really got in touch with that, in the flow of traditional yoga, it was always breath work before you started into asanas, because we needed to bring the energy in through the breath to prepare the body before we started to move it. So yoga is aligning Atman and Brahman, the body with the soul or the energy, right? Well, in order to do that, you have to create that gateway for the spirit, the soul, to align with the body, and the breath is how we do that, right? So there is that spiritual, that quick spiritual component. So not only are you understanding your situation around you and using your breath to help you be prepared for that, you also can understand your soul in the situation it desires, and helping breath to align your form to your soul.
Yes.
So such a powerful opportunity with breath. And of course, we can't go into deep breathwork practice here, but we have tons of that available on our site, or if you do a search throughout the web, there are so many wonderful people who are offering breathwork. Pranayam or breathwork practices that you can really study up on. So quick hit, wonderful tool.
Agreed. And oftentimes when we hear spirituality, it's kind of tough because it can be a not really a practical thing, or it almost feels ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like this is one way to kind of think about spirituality is connection to our consciousness. And when we have, and what is consciousness in many ways, but intention. And so that kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the very beginning of this, is like, what is our intention and purpose behind this action? And so if we are just reactional to our breath, and then we're letting it determine how we feel, like we get really short with our breath, which then gets us very anxious. And then we're letting outside determine our inside. That's not necessarily consciousness, yeah. Right? That is not being conscious or intentional or aware of the situation. And so when we do bring that internal focus on our breath, and we are able to direct the style of breathing that we would like, what is the typical breath state that we would enjoy on a regular basis? What is the breath tool that we can use when things are heightened, when things might feel like fight or flight, or, you know, maybe it's stressful at work, or someone's yelling at you, or you're in the car and someone cuts you off, or all these things that we go through every single day that can pull us into more of a stressful and anxious and then short breath focus? Well, maybe we can say, okay, no, I'm not going to let these things outside of me determine how I feel within.
Yeah.
I'm going to step back. I'm going to focus on my breath. I'm going to be intentional and purposeful, which then connects me to my conscious awareness of the situation, which then by default allows my spirituality to be more focused and inclined in how I'm actually interacting with the world through my physical form.
Perfect. And to me, that actually leads to number two.
Nice. Yes.
Which is balance, right? We talk about, and we hear the word balance and we think equilibrium.
Mm.
And I think it's important to distinguish between balance and equilibrium. But we want things to be so balanced in life, but what does that even mean? And then we attempt to force balance, right? We first have to reach balance within us. And that doesn't mean that all things are equal, right? Well, if you do 50%, then I do 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not balance. That's equilibrium. That's all things being equal. Balance means we find a state where things feel aligned, where if something is off skew, then I'm tilting too far one way or too far the other way. Like if you think about a scale, right? In order to reach balance, sometimes there's something that's heavier and something that's lighter, and you need a lot more of something in order to reach that balance. They don't weigh the same thing. So if you're looking for equal, it's going to be way off if the weight is different. And so when we look for balance internally, that means we need to know what it takes in order to create that within us. And our mental balance is a key part of that, right? If we don't understand when our thoughts are racing so much that we forget to feel, and we don't know how we feel about something because we're overthinking it, then, oh my gosh, all of a sudden, we are way out of balance because our thoughts and our feelings are not weighted the same, right?
On top of that, there's also this feeling of balance with how we're interacting with the world, right? It's really easy to be aware of how we feel about things, but oftentimes it's at the same time, we kind of forget about what does everyone else think about it? Or we might be so flipped on the other side, we're so worried about what everyone else thinks that we're not really thinking or feeling through our own thoughts and feelings. And so both of those are out of balance. And again, we're not saying 50-50 exactly, you know, it's just balance is what aligns.
Yes.
And so we have to be aware of ourselves. At the same time, we have to be aware of others as well. And so one of the things that we do is that we say, okay, what am I doing at the expense of something else, right? And that's kind of like a good way to understand balance, because true balance could be 60-40, 70-30, you know, all of that equals 100. But what is best for me? And you need to be willing to be adaptable and flexible in that understanding. And some situations might require you to be more focused on you so you could be there for those around you. And sometimes you might need to be more aware of those around you so you can understand how you can be in that situation. And so there's no one way, right or wrong. It's just having the conscious awareness and the focus and intention to be aware of where you're at and what type of balance would be fit for you in any given situation.
Yeah. And the reason this is so important, or we call this a quick hit in the whole scope of your spiritual movement, is if you're not aware of what's happening and the choices you're making and the balance that brings to your life, then you may not necessarily be aware of the spiritual toll or the toll it's taking on your spirit in the flow of that. Because oftentimes, at least it's true for me and it's true for a lot of the individuals I've been in service of, we give so much outside of ourselves that we don't realize how drained we are at the end of any given day, and we have nothing left in the tank for ourselves. And so any thought or any feeling we have toward self-care or alignment of our spirit, it's not there anymore. We're just ready to collapse and call it a day, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. But if we are seeking to have some spiritual progress, then we need time, whatever that spiritual progress is. We need time and we need strength to understand the alignment of our spirit, which means that we need to understand, are we in balance if our true goal is to have some spiritual alignment, but we have no strength to have that spiritual alignment? Is there a way to carve a little bit of time out in that flow so that I can have it? Maybe it's that I listen to some brainwave music and I get that calmness of my thoughts. I understand how to align my brainwaves so that I create some space for alignment of my spirit throughout the course of my day. Like, there are little things that we can do, but first we need the awareness of how our balance flows throughout the day in order to even begin that. So that's why this is one of those wins that we can get. Without awareness, we don't even know where we are.
So right.
Hi, I'm your host, Amber, and I am here with Austin on the Heart Leader Podcast. We are so grateful that you are tuning in to be with us. To never miss an episode, take a moment right now to click the subscribe button below and give us a like so we know we're creating content that you really enjoy.
Maybe I can give a quick example that can tie these first two together between breath and balance. Personal experience just 2 months ago, or not even 2 months ago. Well, exactly 2 months ago. Whatever.
Okay.
And somewhere around in that realm. I got a surgery on my nose because I was struggling with breathing. I had a deviated septum and the turbinates in my nose were kind of inflamed just over years and years and years. And I was really struggling in breathing. Now, I know I have the conscious awareness of how important breathing is. That's why one of the reasons why we talked about it, you know, first is because for us, it's been a pivotal tool to increase our spirituality and in our awareness, right? But here I was out of balance, even though I spend a lot of my days and I spend years now focusing on internal growth and with a deeper connection to my spirituality as a core focus. And then I was allowing myself to get out of balance, not bringing more intention behind the breath and allowing this to not only affect me, but affect you and others around me. And so I finally got this surgery and here I am 2 months later, already feeling exponentially better. Able to breathe better, able to connect better, able to not feel like I'm so focused on mouth breathing that I'm, you know, in the short breath, I'm able to feel more relaxed because I'm breathing more from my nose. And so I can actually feel more clear. I'm sleeping better. I'm waking up more energized. That's a practical application of understanding the purpose of balance and breath into how we actually interact in the world. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this isn't to point fingers at any one person. Like, here we are, we dedicate our lives to this. Here I am, I dedicate my life to this, and I'm still finding balance. And so it's not an end all be all kind of thing. It's something that as we grow, there's still going to be opportunities to shift that balance and being aware and being willing to step through it and recognize that it's not like something's wrong. It's just, hey, there's an opportunity for something that's better.
Yeah. And I think that actually carries us into number three.
Yeah.
Sensory awareness.
Yes.
Right. And for me, sensory awareness is something that helps me actually go deeper within and connect to my spirit. At the same time, it's helping me connect deeper within the world and all of the beauty that's outside. But breath and having that awareness of balance helps lead into this. So while there's no like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all of these two feed into each other, right? So when we talk about sensory awareness, it's actually understanding how all of your senses, and if you believe in the sixth sense, like that intuitive nature, it would include that too, our willingness to separate each one out and honor it, and then understand how each one integrates into the other as well. And when you're willing to take those and really dive into them, so for instance, find a way to focus solely on your sight and only on your sight, and find something like there's a picture frame right behind you. I could look at just the whole picture frame for a couple of moments and then pick one aspect of that picture frame and look a little closer at that, maybe just the corner of it, and then go even deeper and look at the etching within that corner of the picture frame. And then go deeper and look at the dark color within the etching of the picture frame. And then go deeper and look at the little dots that are in the darker color of the etching of the picture frame. And see just how far I can go in looking at all of that. And notice as deep as I can. And then pull back out at the same layer. So go from the little dots to the color, to the etching, to the corner, to the frame as a whole, and then start looking at the room. And just notice how that takes my vision to a different level and how I start noticing things in the room that I probably didn't notice before I paid that much attention to the depth of that picture frame, because suddenly my sight knows that I'm paying attention, right? I've honed that sense. And when I do that sense by sense, suddenly my senses are heightened and it drives me to really notice how my senses function, which drives me inward. But it also causes me to notice more about my external world. And you wouldn't think that that's necessarily a spiritual endeavor, but it is. Because as a soul, I realize that this world has a lot coming at me. Mm-hmm. And when I numb it and I deaden it by not paying attention and not really balancing all of the input that's coming at me, I just allow everything in, then it's no wonder I get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot coming at me through all of my senses, all of the time. Mm-hmm. And when I become aware of that, then I can choose how I allow it to come in, right?
Mm-hmm. So true. And that's because there is so much, it's almost hard to comprehend that there is a lot that's outside of us that is affecting our internal. And the more that we can have direction and the more intention that we have, as you're saying. So I love that perspective. I know that's helped me a ton. And just one quick note, if you are going to focus on smell and you have a bulldog, make sure you do your practice outside. It's definitely a lot better. But these are all practices we can do with all the senses. I mean, especially like you have taste and, you know, enjoy a nice piece of dark chocolate or something like that. It's really beautiful. If you go, like when we go out on dates and we enjoy a nice meal and we go through every single, we kind of share and experience it, it just becomes more connected and you feel like we're able to experience it with each other, which is really what spirituality is all about. What is spiritual? It's understanding unity and connection, and that nothing that we do is ever one-sided.
Yeah.
That's part of it, because it's all interconnected, and that's the beauty. And so when we can share in that through purpose and intention, then it just becomes that much more beautiful.
Yeah. And we do have a sensory meditation that's freely available.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll make sure that there's a link to it.
Yep.
With this podcast. So definitely, if you're looking, if this is one of the tools you would like to explore, we will make certain that you have that available to you. But again, what it can do for you when you're talking about quick hits, quick wins, you want to measure and see how you're opening up and exploring your spirit and your spirituality and just like really understanding. It's a great way. It is such a great way to begin to know, like, hey, do I really appreciate this smell? Or am I being bombarded by this smell and I need to find a way to counteract that? Or do I really like this taste in this food that I've been eating? Or am I just eating it because it's there? And so I can make a choice about that and redirect it. Or maybe I can't. Maybe I actually need the nutrients that are in that food. But at least now I'm aware of that, right? It comes back to making choices.
Like ginger for me.
Yes.
You I really cannot stand the flavor of ginger, but I fully understand how beneficial it is to my body. And so that's one of those where it's like, I do not want to really focus a lot on the sensory experience of this, but I want to give a lot of gratitude for what it's doing for my body.
But then you can counterbalance it, right? Because you know you don't like the taste of ginger. So how do you counterbalance your taste? You have other senses that help you counterbalance the taste so you don't taste it.
Yes.
This is what balance can do, right? So again, they all go together. Quick wins.
Yes.
And that kind of goes to the food awareness as well.
Number four.
Food awareness.
Yes.
You're doing all this to support yourself. If you're throwing garbage into your body, then no matter what we do, we're still going to feel bogged down.
Yeah. I mean, why is it that we know that we can't put diesel into a regular gas engine? We can't put gas into an electric car. You know, these are not right for us. But here we are, we have our own bodies, and it's like we're willing to put diesel into our regular gas engine.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work, right?
Right. Now, we are not saying that you can't have like the occasional good food, right? Or good treat, whatever everybody's body is different. Mm-hmm. And we do not sit upon some throne going, thou shall not eat sugar.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's body is different. As a nutritionist and someone who's studied a lot about food, the one thing I have discovered through it all is no one type of eating fits for every person. But under the same guise, there are certain foods that, if eaten constantly, will begin to break your body down. And so it is important that you understand your body and you understand what foods give you energy and make you feel really good and what foods start to make you feel really bad and steal your energy.
Right. And on top of that, when you can have that understanding, then you can go even further and say, like, for me, it's like, okay, once I had that understanding, one of the things I desired to do just for a personal spirituality focus was I wanted to be more compassionate in the way that I live my life. Well, how can I bring compassion into what I eat? And so that for me is why I chose more of a gluten-free vegan diet. No right or wrong here. It's just that was more intention and purpose for me, so I could be really focused on all these other aspects. Like, for me, that's internal growth. So everything that I'm putting in my body, I feel is in alignment with my soul, with my spirituality, with the intention, with the purpose, which brings me more connected to who I am, which allows me to be more authentic in my expression of who I am. And so there's, again, more purpose and intention. So whatever that purpose or intention is, anyone can name that. That's up to them. But that just that example might create an opportunity to be like, oh, maybe I hadn't thought about it that way. Maybe my goal is fitness or whatever, and then even go even further. And so choose what it is and then do a deep dive and then seek to understand why, and then maybe take the action towards that with what you're putting into your form, because that affects the food that we have and, you know, how it's grown or where it's grown or what it's doing. That's energy, and that energy could be maybe anxious energy that, no wonder maybe we feel anxious, or maybe it could be more relaxed. I mean, there's so many different reasons why. And I know we're going to be touching on that a little bit here this month with another podcast. And so maybe if you are interested in that, we can you can kind of tune in and explore.
Yeah, absolutely. But above all, just understanding the impact food does have on your specific body, where you are right now, because it will change. When you're aware of what you're eating right now and you start to target the things that make you feel good right now, your body's going to go, ooh, you're listening.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you might find that you start craving things that you didn't crave before.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to shift a little bit more in another direction. And so that constant food awareness, that constant willingness to listen to what your body is telling you, because that, again, is your spirit listening to your body and your body holding the energy of your spirit. And so that's that symbiotic relationship, that symbiosis. We just came back from touring all around South America. It was beautiful and wonderful and hard and challenging and all kinds of things in between. But one of the things we saw in Patagonia were these trees, where there were trees that had like the symbiosis going on, where they lived with each other and from each other. And it is very much like that. Our spirit and our body, they need each other to be here, right? They live with each other and for each other. And they have to understand when one is taking too much from the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we know that is when we listen to each other,
mm-hmm.
right? We, whether we recognize it or not, we are not one and the same. I am not my body. My body is not me. When I leave this form, it is my belief that I, my soul, does not stay with my body. My body returns to the earth. I go, my soul goes somewhere else, right? Wherever that might be. Therefore, we are not one and the same. So that means that while my form is functional, I need to listen to what the cells are telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to provide what they need in order to be vibrant and healthy. And that is fuel. So why would I not provide it with what it needs, right?
Yeah. What can my body do to support my energetic form? And what can my energy do to support my physical form?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so listening mm-hmm. is the biggest thing. Isn't that what we all want, is someone to listen to us, for crying out loud?
What?
Huh?
Yes.
And so why doesn't that start within?
Love it.
And then that goes to number five,
mm-hmm.
which is heart-centered living. Because heaven knows we've lived with our thoughts for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
all wanting to be thought leaders. No problem with that.
Beautiful thing.
I need to be very thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to have intellect and thought-driven, you know, forward movement.
Logic. These are all important.
But when heart-centered living is not at the core of that, then sometimes we're driving toward things that may not lead us where we desire to go. Mm-hmm. And that includes what we're doing to our own forms, our own families, our own souls. And one way to measure those quick spiritual wins is to continue to stay in that heart and ask ourselves, is this in alignment with what I desire my life to look like?
Right. One of the things that really helped me understand this difference between living in the head and living in the heart was the difference between advancement and evolution. When we are so stuck in our head, we tend to kind of forget about the heart. We forget about compassion, empathy, and oftentimes that would be in alignment with advancement. But when we have evolution, that allows all the benefit that we get from our amazing brain, but also pairs with our heart. So we have all that intellect and that logic paired with the compassion and empathy and connection. And that's why we created the term heart leader. And that's why we have this podcast, is to remind us of how important it is to live from the heart. Because it's not saying live without the head. Yeah. Because it's not like just so like, oh, I love everything and then I have no logic towards anything. That's not going to get us anywhere. That's not evolution either, right?
Right.
It's really about pairing it so that we can understand how to bring love from into what we do with intellect, logic, connection, purpose, intention, all these beautiful things. That's what evolves our species. That's what evolves the universe in so many ways, right? And so that's kind of, to us, is the beauty of what heart-centered living is all about. And heart-centered living is understanding these other aspects of why it's important that we have breath. When we breathe in to our chest, well, it happens to be right where our heart is. Maybe there's a purpose behind that, right?
Yeah.
Right. And the food that we have, that helps us kind of feel, it fuels the heart, it fuels the compassion, the energy, so physical and energetic, right? When we have that balance, that's another aspect of that heart-centered living, the balance between the heart and the head, not being so caught up in our head that we forget about our heart, so caught in our heart that we forget about the logic or the intellect. So there are aspects of this balance. So everything that we've talked about today is all intertwined. And that's why we want to talk about these five steps are a great first five steps in internal growth to get you started or to reignite what you've already been doing and bring, again, more intention and purpose.
Yeah. And again, those first five steps to really ignite or reignite and measure breath, mm-hmm. balance, sensory awareness, food awareness, and heart-centered living.
Yes.
So you begin in any one of those places and maneuver around. Just play, because it's about play too, right? You got to be playful.
Yes.
You can't take it so serious. You just can't. It's about being playful because our spirits are playful, right? Yes. They really are.
Yeah.
And so I thank you for having a playful conversation with me.
Back at you, my love.
And you can tune in to the next one. So check out what we've got going on. We got more great conversations available. So check it out. We'll see you in the next one.